Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So, if you would you walk us through a typical day for you?
It's Mike Shope.
Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah, I just stare at my desk. But it looks like I'm working. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
And the Bulldog.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Remember that day? Was it last week or the week before when Daryl Talley was on One Bills Live? And I was just kind of like happy about that. Mm-hmm. Happy thinking about Daryl Talley. And we played the clip off my phone of his touchdown against the Raiders.
That feels like that was early last week.
Yeah, maybe.
Or 3 weeks ago. No, I think it was early last week.
It was this summer.
Yeah, it was early last week. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Or it was 2012.
Yeah, right. Pete Metzelaar's today.
Yeah, I heard that.
Like, Joe, can you find the, if I say the Pete Metzelaar's touchdown, what is it? The Pete Metzelaar's touchdown.
It's in the no punt game against San Francisco.
Yes. Now, he had two in that game, right?
Oh, okay. Sure. I remember the one where he was just sort of almost the only person on the screen or something. He just caught the ball and turned upfield and was running. And I remember watching that happen with my friends and going, like, oh, my God, this is really happening.
It was awesome.
He can do this? He doesn't just catch it and fall down? Look at him. He's running.
Pete Metzelaar's on the loose.
Yeah, right.
At Candlestick Park.
Right.
He had two touchdowns in the third quarter of that game. I love that game. Who doesn't?
I don't remember the other one at all.
One was for 53 yards. And the other was for 24.
Okay.
Now, it's possible. I don't know. But I think it's possible. Like, would you bet this? That those were his two longest touchdowns ever? Do you think Pete Metzelaar's ever had another touchdown longer than 24 yards?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I'll bet there's a 30-ish, a couple of 30-ish in there. But 53, I would bet for sure is career long.
But what is the play? Like, if he scored a 30-yard touchdown, now he did it. In this game, you remember, I don't remember the other one really either. It's been a while since I've watched it. Mm-hmm. By a while, I mean like a year.
All right, okay.
It's been a year since I watched that game.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since like, what year was the game?
1992.
Okay, so like probably then is the last time I saw it.
You've watched it once. You watched it when it happened?
Right, yeah.
You did?
Yes.
You watched the game live?
Yeah, that game was on. I wasn't sitting in front of the TV the whole game, but it was on at the pizza place, and we were like sort of, you know, we just sort of took turns walking back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Enberg and Trumpy.
Okay.
It's great. It's better. Whatever game it is, it's that much better if it's Dick Enberg's voice on it. Yeah. Here is the Metzelaar's 53-yard touchdown from the no-punt game on NBC.
43 yards rushing. His bigger yardages come pass receiving. Down the middle to Metzelaar's, the tight end. Oh. He doesn't have a lot of speed, enough for the end zone. Yes, touchdown. Oh, that was dangerously close to a touchback for San Francisco. Metzelaar's on the goal line. As he's hit, he fumbles, but on the goal line, he had broken the plane. And the big guy, 53 yards for the score.
I think they didn't have review that year.
Okay.
I think they didn't.
Yeah, no, right. It was in between. They had it, and then they didn't have it for a while, and then it came back again in like the late 90s. Yeah,
I think 91 they had replay, because there was a play in the Super Bowl with Kirby Jackson that got reviewed.
Okay.
Is that familiar? And then this year, this is the next year, I don't think they had replay.
I remember an Art Monk play being reviewed in Super Bowl 26.
Yeah, maybe it's the same play.
I don't remember if Kirby Jackson was involved in it. I just remember Art Monk being his foot on the end line or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, was it a touchdown or an interception or something?
And then maybe that offseason they got rid of it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, so he like fumbles at the end of the play.
There's a couple things in that highlight. Like, first of all, Trumpy sounds like just shocked. Like, I think everyone would be like, it's Pete Metzelaar's in the open field. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, right, there's right. that. And then it sounds pretty clear, like, that how we're describing him is not being someone who you're used to seeing running in the open field. Like, he almost gets caught. Like,
he does get caught.
Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? He's like, somebody's chasing him down and catches him just a little too late.
And Dick Enberg says he doesn't have a lot of speed.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's a great one.
Yeah.
So I don't remember his other touchdown from that game, but I'm sure it was awesome. Remember the halftime score of the no punt game?
I don't.
So they are down 24-13 at halftime.
Okay.
And this is the first score of the third quarter, and then Metzler scores again. That's the next score of the game. So there must have been a turnover or a missed field goal.
So they
that's
go the from 24-13 down to up 27-20.
27-24.
Right.
And they win the game 34-30 or 34-31. 34-31.
Yep.
That's and the Niners miss a field goal at the end that would have tied it.
Oh, boy.
Kofor.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Who scores? This is a tough one. They even stumped Thurman on this one. Who scores the first touchdown of the game? I think most Bills fans remember Jerry Rice getting hurt. Like, they know that about the no punt game. They remember it, or they know that about that game. That Rice, for it's sort of ironic that for the game being so famous for the offense, yeah. Rice gets hurt. He catches a few passes first.
Yep.
And then gets a concussion and leaves the game. And he's like on the field a long time. He's sort of bent over and you don't know. And then he just walks off eventually very slowly. I don't know if that's the first drive. It may not be the first drive, but it's pretty early. So who scores the first touchdown of the no punt game?
I like that you stumped Thurman with this because it's Thurman.
No.
It's not him.
Yeah. No, he scored two.
Yeah. I don't know.
Odessa Turner.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Is the Niners receiver who scores the first touchdown of that game. And then it's Thurman, and John Taylor has two, and Metzlars has two. It's just awesome. Joe, like, that game is before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also in color TV. It's also in the Super Bowl era. It's also, like, you know, you can watch it right now, and it's not grainy, and there aren't sections cut out. There aren't commercials in the middle of it for cigarettes. Old games.
Right.
Like, to me, what I would call old games.
It's just not HD, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there. It's good enough. It's you can get it.
Does it seem old to you? Like, is it old to you?
Oh, yeah.
It has to be.
Certainly.
Because it was before you were born.
Yeah, I think anything that's before you're born is considered old, I would think.
It has
Although it doesn't feel like it as much as almost even like years after, just because it's talked about so much, and like that's more in my memory and in like me being a Bills fan, just because you hear about it 10 times more than like the early 2000s and the late 90s. So that almost that stuff, like when I see old Bledsoe highlights, that almost looks older to me than like this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
this is fresher.
Like, right. Nate Clemens knocking out Brady or like
hitting
Brady.
That looks ancient.
Like, that looks really old. But maybe it helps that it's a game that looks like a game that could happen now between New England and Kansas City. Right, like it's a, you know, it's there's no punts.
Right,
it's,
that's
it's
right.
The Bills in a game that is that where they don't punt.
And there have been a couple no punt games since.
Yeah.
One in the playoffs. This was first, though.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first game, right. I believe, to never have a punt.
I think that's right, yeah.
But there was a Colts-Chiefs playoff game where there was not a punt, and there was another. There was at least one more in recent years. But, yeah, I like that point that, like, what does football look like more often now?
Like that.
Looks like that.
Right.
It's just passing yards galore.
Right. The tight ends might be a little more athletic than Pete Metzlers, for example. There wouldn't necessarily be, he doesn't have a lot of speed, but you know.
Yeah, there's really nobody now where you might expect that said.
Yeah. Lee Smith catches a ball and no one around him, like, that's probably going to be said.
Okay, yeah.
He could be caught from behind.
The good tight ends are fast.
Right. The good tight ends can run like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of exciting. Bills we've talked about this too, right? They've never had a tight end in the Pro Bowl. Didn't we decide that recently?
That sounds like something we ended up at. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. They've whereas like the league and like lots of the good teams have all had really dangerous a lot of them have had very dangerous players at that position. The Bills still are really. Kroom last year was like, oh. he's not a good blocker? Okay. Like, fine. can he run? Can he make guys miss? Is he a mismatch? Can we get one of those? Because we've got guys that are big enough to be a mismatch, but they're not really dangerous. They're not really going to do anything. If once they mismatch you, you're just going to trip them and they're going to fall. And they're 8 yards. Good job.
Yeah, this is a Warren Sharp area, tight ends. He was tweeting about this maybe even today.
Yeah, he was.
That tight ends are a great tool.
Completion percentage, like success rate on passes to tight ends far outweigh completion percentage or success rate on passes to wide receivers, yet teams still only throw to tight ends like 20% of the time that they throw. Something like that, I think, was the gist of what he was tweeting about.
Yeah, I mean, boy, this is really not for me to say. I'm fascinated by it, but I always want to defer to the people who study film more than I do, and that's most people who tweet football. Like, that's, I think about Matt Waldman or Warren or some of these guys that we have on that are just really scholarly about it. And so where are we headed? We're headed away from teams running the ball as like their go-to, as their identity. We're headed away from that. Scott Barrett was tweeting today from Pro Football Focus about how last year, this isn't surprising, I think, last year was the lowest per game rushing attempt average in NFL history.
Okay.
25.9 runs per game maybe was the number. That lowest ever.
Okay. I didn't see the number, but that's not surprising.
And so where do you want to end up? You want to end up with, or you want to, maybe you're already this, you want to end up with running backs who are catching the ball, running backs you can split out, tight ends you can split out, receivers who can run it. The Bills are in Carolina. Carolina has Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore at the top of their receiver depth chart this year. Those guys get handoffs. I think Samuel had maybe several of those last year. Like, that was a regular play for them. So it's all just sort of misdirection, and we're going to outrun you. It's speed. Speed is the key, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
Speed and size, but
yep.
Speed is...
Speed more than size.
Speed more than... Like hockey.
Size is still... Like, the tight end is to me, a very interesting piece in all that, because, like, what is that? You know, that is... Who are you going to put on the guy? That's what the mismatch is all about. He runs like close to comparable to a receiver, but he's definitely bigger and stronger than your average receiver. I mean, some teams have receivers who are 6'4 or 6'5, but even they are not going to weigh 250. You know, like that's the tight end that is. Like, can he run really well, better than the average tight end? By maybe a substantial amount, and is he that size? Like, that's the mismatch. Put a linebacker on him, he can't keep up. Put a DB on him, and he's just going to post him up like Karl Malone. And so, good luck. Like, that's the idea there. So that's still very important, still prevalent, but it feels to me like speed is even more so. And like, I think we even saw that in Buffalo with the Bills towards the tail end of last year when Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster sort of showed up and started making a difference in the offense. Think about the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs, who's the most dangerous player on the Chiefs? It's Hill. He has no size advantage over anyone. He's just fast is what he is. I mean, he's good. He's, you know, I don't mean to be minimizing.
No, you're right. He's small.
He's small, and it's a speed advantage and shiftiness, and he's got elite open field running skills. The guy, they handed the ball to one of the guys that they drafted to perhaps sort of offset the loss of Hill if he were to be suspended, which he's not going to be, at least as of now. And he scored it on an end around in their first preseason game. And he's the same body type, pretty much. He's not a size mismatch.
Would that be Mecole Hardman?
Yes,
is that who that was?
Yes, so it is. He's just speed. It's just, I'm going to beat you with speed.
This can make you a little bit optimistic for the Bills, right? Because
yeah.
Brown.
Beasley is not that fast, but he gets open, and there's no size advantage there. He's not a big guy, but he knows how to work that part of the field, and he's going to get open.
No, he could be more like Edelman.
Sure, right.
In that way.
Right. And even McKenzie, who sort of, to me, before Thursday night in the preseason opener, was, to me, somewhat of an afterthought. And then he's catching balls on Thursday, and I'm thinking, okay, he was pretty decent last year too. Like, I wonder, like, where, what becomes of him? Does he have a role here? Is he eliminated by Beasley and Brown being here? Like, I don't know how that fits, but like, he's an interesting player in that way, because it's speed and can I make you miss?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Chiefs, because when it looked like Hill was going away, all the fantasy stuff I consume was big on that team. Like, what happens to Patrick Mahomes' value? What happens to Travis Kelce's value? What happens to the running backs? What happens to Sammy Watkins? Does Sammy Watkins get more volume with Hill gone, which would seem logical, and this rookie? And most people, if not everybody that I listened to and read on that subject, said Hill does not help anybody else except for maybe Watkins, because you would think, you know, they're going to throw the ball X number of times, and if Watkins is durable enough, he'll get at least as much volume, but that it wouldn't be good for Kelce. And, like, why is that? Because Hill represents such a feature in their offense that it would just be that much easier to defend them.
Right.
And Kelce's great. I mean, he's almost unstoppable. But if you can afford one more guy, you can afford a safety, or you can afford one more guy to him, because they can't go, you know, just over the top of you, then good for you. So that's big. And, you know, maybe the Bills with Brown and maybe also Singletary can be more, you know, with the times, I guess.
Yeah,
be faster.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, get too far down the, like, you know, show them this, make them respect this, like the rabbit hole of traditional football, you know, strategy. Well, I got to make them respect this, and then they won't be able. But with that said, on some level, like, if you can establish, why do you throw it to the running back as a tactic as opposed to as a like last measure, as a I don't know what else to do, as a safety valve? Like, why do it? Well, if you have someone who's dangerous, who can hurt the other team and prove that, then you have to respect that part of the field more than you do. You don't just give it away. Like, when the Bills are going to, you know, they design a play and it's going to be to Pat DeMarco in the flat. Like, you know, I'm sorry, no offense to Pat DeMarco, but, like, the opposing team, I think you'll see that guy's wide open. You know why? Because they're not worried about Pat DeMarco really hurting them.
It's like
oh, you got 8 yards, or you got 12 yards, or, oh, my God, how much, whatever.
Right.
Just, you're not going to make your hay throwing it to Pat DeMarco like that. But if you throw that to Devin Singletary or LeSean McCoy or somebody that can make you pay for not respecting that part of the field, well, guess what? Then you're going to have to start respecting it, and that's going to have to take something away from something else.
Yeah, now Beasley is more likely open.
Right.
Because that linebacker, it's like a basketball guy up top who can't shoot. Go ahead and shoot. Like, even Draymond. Draymond isn't a bad shooter, but on that team, you just let him have it.
Right.
Let him have his three.
You're the guy. What do you shoot for?
Go ahead.
All right.
Take it.
My odds are pretty good.
Yeah, so, like, that could be... Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I think, I mean, it's not to say that McCoy can't catch the ball like that, but it just hasn't really, it just really hasn't happened with him as a Bill. Like, I don't feel like him catching the ball has been a feature dangerous option. And, yeah, I don't know, maybe that's just how their offense is going to be, so Singletary won't really get a chance to do that, or maybe because he's better at it, he will.
Or maybe Yeldon. I don't really hear any buzz about Yeldon. I don't know if he's just sort of last, but...
Well, he fumbled on Thursday and then never played again.
Of course. Yeah, that's just not going to get me anywhere. The key man is McDermott this year. He is the key man. Allen is big, but we know, for the most part, we know what Allen can do and what he can't do. And so, is this coach... Does he want to have his team be more on Josh Allen's shoulders? That's reads, that's accuracy, that's all of it. Does he envision a team? Does he want to be a team that not just can throw over the top of you for easy touchdowns, free touchdowns, but wants to and thinks that's fundamental to their chances of success? There's been no evidence really yet that he is about that. everything he says is different. He isn't somebody who talks like wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
He can be dismissive of that kind of thing and sort of his generally polite sounding way. But does he actually think that that is his ticket? I think he doesn't. And the preseason tells you nothing. Every press conference means nothing. It's just going to be games. The first thing this year that I am excited for is when the Bills against the Jets are in second and long, like a few times. Because what will they want to accomplish on those plays? What are they here for? Are they here for drives and ball control and clock management and defense and one score wins? Are they here for that? Does Sean McDermott think that is his recipe for success this year with this team? Maybe not in like 3 years. If he knows he has this job in 2 or 3 years, which he might think he does, I don't know. Like, it's always process and it's always we're on the right track and we've come light years and like I'm going to be here a long time is how he sounds.
He's definitely not walking around thinking I better win this year.
No.
Right.
But if he actually knew, if it were in stone that he was the coach of this team in like 3 or 5 years, then it could all be a gradual kind of process toward that.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably doesn't know that. So whether he does or he doesn't, what is this year? What do they think they will have to be on offense to beat people? Because there's no more time, as we all agree on, there's no more time for any other outcome with the Bills that's acceptable. There's just no other result this year for the Bills that's acceptable than beating people. Not just, oh, we're getting closer. No one is here for that this year. Last year, everybody gave the Bills the entire year last year for mm-hmm. that. Coming off of their first playoff appearance in forever, everybody still gave them everything they wanted, all the leeway they needed last year for that. We're working toward it. Now, forget it. Shut up. Now we're not listening to that. So how does he – we are going to find out early. They play beatable teams early. We're going to find out early how he intends to beat people with his offense. And what do you think? Do you believe that he thinks throwing it on them, like there's your, if you want to use identity, I really try to avoid that word, but if you want to use that, do you expect him to make that kind of thing his identity or the opposite?
I don't expect that right yet. I think, you know, as much of a sort of hackneyed almost punchline as process has become with how long he's already been here and how often it's been spoken of, I would expect him to have I think he has a process in mind for Josh Allen. And I think that process is we're going to ask you to do more. We got you some more stuff, but we're not going to ask you to do everything. Just show us you can handle what we give you. And then I think we'll be prepared to adjust as we go.
Yeah.
And that could be from week to week, month to month of this season, or it could be year to year, like on a more macro level. Not yet. We're not there yet. Like, I definitely don't think they think they are there yet. And I understand that. Like where he's coming from, I don't have reason to think he's ready to do all that. It might be that he'll never be ready no matter how you handle this, but I think they want to just respect the process of developing him.
I would say, Bulldog, like if anybody wants more insight into what McDermott might actually be thinking right now with this in mind, go listen to Chris Brown talk from the pregame show Thursday night on with us. Because I felt I was listening to McDermott's proxy, listening to Chris shouting about why McCoy is on the team and we're not going to let Josh Allen loose until he proves. I mean, I just felt like I was listening to, almost like listening to McDermott describe that and the logic behind that, which to me just isn't logical, but that is his sort of, I feel like that's what I was listening to from Chris the other night. And so, we're just going to find out in less than a month what they really think is right. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with your calls coming up. I've got a little game for you guys today, at least one, and we'll have Sal on and also Armando Salguero talking Dolphins and AFC East next hour. This is WGR.
I think he finished the year super well last year. I think that was huge for him. And I think you see him slowly taking that leadership role with the Bills. And I think you see guys rally around him. And his game just continues to grow. It's going to grow. It grew from Wyoming to year one. It's going to grow from year one to year two. And I think you see it speeding up in his head. I think the decisions are coming out quicker because he's got all the arm talent in the world. He can make up for slow decision makings, but I think his decisions are starting to speed up.
We're hearing from Carolina Panthers players today. That is Kyle Allen talking about Josh Allen. So there.
Where's the other Josh Allen?
He was drafted by Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, right? Okay.
Yeah, Jacksonville. We have a bet on Jacksonville this year.
Yes, we do.
I have them under 7.5. I am such a junkie that I didn't even make you guys bet the real line.
Right, the real line was 8?
8.
Yeah.
Just in a desperate attempt to get anything written up there.
Yep.
Fine, 7.5. Fine, I don't care.
Right.
You got me. Deep down, I feel like you owe me a half point somewhere else. Like a half game somewhere else. Find one.
Summer's still young. Not really.
Find one that you really like. And I might just do it if you give me the half point. Like that might just be enough. If you just go find one sometime that... I'm off the rest of the week, by the way, so you might want to do this right now. Find one that you really like and change it by a half point in the other direction, and I'll probably say yes. Probably. Right? Am I pushing too hard now?
No. I don't. I mean, you can push all you want. I mean, I'm not going to do this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Not going to do it?
I'm not going to go do it right now.
Well, you keep talking about Pittsburgh.
Right.
And we know that the Pittsburgh line is pretty modest. Like, it's not a team that...
Yeah, I don't know what it
the
is
...the public
right
loves.
Yeah.
Probably, right. Like, 8.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll go look.
Okay. We talked about Dallas last week, but it seemed like we might both have been on the same in the same spot on Dallas.
I don't know what I want to do. So. I mean, I think I do, but what I think I want to do on Dallas is under because right. They were lucky last year.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I also I'm excited about the idea of them getting faster and pass happier with a new coordinator and with even maybe perhaps Elliott not there. Which would almost force that,
because
I think that would make them better. Like, I think it would make every team better, including the Bills. So I don't know what I want to do with Dallas. I'm in between.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So adding a half game to that wouldn't really get us anywhere because we're both maybe leaning on the under anyway. So there's no real point in adjusting that to get you into it. I don't think anyway at this point. And I definitely would not go over anyway on them.
Both Dallas and Pittsburgh are 9.
Okay.
So if you love Pittsburgh, like you say you do.
So I go 9.5 if you on make Pittsburgh that, and you'll bet it.
If you make that 9.5, I'll take the under. Yep. Right. I feel like that's fair.
What time are you here until?
7. 6:56.
Listen, don't.
And 30.
I got to object to this like notion of tying into that. Like, look, that's on the board. That's sunk cost. Like, you made that. You were desperate. You wanted action. So you did it. So, like, I don't know. I don't owe you anything.
For the show,
you know,
just
but,
like this.
But if I want to also for the show,
yes.
But like, I'm not desperate for the action. I mean, I don't care that much. I mean, I'm bullish on Pittsburgh, and I don't know what time are you here until you're off after today. We're here till okay. So like, yeah. We got a few hours.
I'm here on Monday.
Let me
after today.
Let me sit with it for a bit here. We got time.
What do you think of my choice there to take like 2 days on and then 3 days off. Is that just dumb?
I don't think so.
Not going anywhere?
We both had occasion this summer to be off for a couple of days at the end of weeks and found that we enjoyed that. And so much so that at one point, I think when I did it, the one time that I did do it this year, I thought, maybe this is a thing to do with all of it. Like, all vacations, stretch it out and just do, like, Thursdays and Fridays for whatever, like, four, you know, 20 days worth of time. Like, just do that 10 times. Because I it's nice to have a week shortened like
a
that.
A bunch of long weekends in
yeah,
a row?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you that time I took yeah. Thursday, Friday off. It was beautiful.
Yep.
It was so, there was so much packed. The key to is not sitting around.
Right.
Like, I didn't sit around that weekend. I had family here. And we were going early, like my wife was off too. We were going early in the day each of those days. And by Sunday night, I was so tired. Like, I could have had a week off. I felt so good. Monday morning, like, right. Oh, I just have not been there in a long time. It's just, I packed a week into those days.
Right.
So I don't think that's happening this time. I have every intention of sitting around tomorrow.
Sit around.
The only thing I will do tomorrow
right.
that isn't nothing. Is if I go to Cleveland to see baseball.
Yeah.
Like right. I went to Pittsburgh last week.
Yeah.
I might do that.
I think it's I don't know. My experience is it's important to have at least some balance of that, because doing nothing. I had a few weekends in July into August where I wasn't feeling real good. Like, my back was bothering me, my legs were bothering me. I really didn't do much of anything. Like, Saturday, just get up and like, okay. Beer, no, not yet. It's okay. I'm sort of hanging out, and the day sort of goes by, and next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock, and I haven't really accomplished anything. This past Saturday, I got up early and was working outside and painting and doing stuff, and I felt much better.
Yeah.
It's
always better.
Doing stuff it makes a difference.
It's always better. Then after you do the stuff, then take a rest.
Yes.
And that feels
yes.
good too.
Yes. So when you have a whole week off, it's very easy to just choose to do nothing for a few of the days, and those days just really
waste them.
They amount to nothing. You don't do anything,
right?
And it's not that fulfilling.
Go start. Yes, there it is. Your life lesson for today.
Yes.
Yeah, I might go see baseball. It's Red Sox, Indians. A friend of mine who is my daughter's baseball coach is texting me this afternoon about baseball. He found out, I think maybe Mark just sort of realized that they shifted against Ted Williams. And, like, you know, sort of, you see the shift now and it's just become commonplace, and maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that in the World Series when Ted Williams was playing, the Cardinals shifted against, or maybe Lou Boudreau did for the Indians. I don't know. Like, they shifted against Ted Williams sometimes. And I was telling him, like, well, that's not why teams do it now. But it is true that the shift had occurred, you know, decades mm-hmm, ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy, I really like him. He is, in these texts, he's bemoaning, as many, many people are about baseball. They're bemoaning the state of things. Everybody's mad at baseball, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
The shift means that so many balls that you're used to seeing be hits are not hits. Somebody's there. They're in short right field. They're up the middle. Like, there's somebody's there. And that's the point, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that batters don't want to take the bunt single. They want to still try for the home run. That's what mm-hmm. that's what they're all about. And you have, like, yesterday there was a doubleheader. The Orioles and Yankees played a doubleheader. And even at, like, 5 o'clock, the first game was over. The second game was at 7 on the YES Network, which we had on in here that carried the first game. They were in post game. And even as late as 5 o'clock, they did not know who the pitchers would be for the second game.
Hmm.
Like, it was just, we'll see which relievers we didn't use yeah. in the first game, and then one of them will start the next game.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, wild like that.
Yeah.
You have two relief pitchers starting against each other, and it's not even like a story. They're just like, oh, we're doing this. This is an opener game. This is a bullpen game.
Right.
And when? Like, 2 years ago, that would have been considered
yes.
just unbelievable.
Right.
It just happens fast like that. So everybody's mad at baseball because they miss steals and they miss bunts and they miss starting pitchers going, you know, toward a complete game. They miss all these things. And so he was this, my friend who was a coach, he was texting me basically that, like, I miss all that stuff.
Should have watched the Indians last night. They bunted a couple different times in the back half of the game with Boston. I was watching it last night, yeah.
They played Texas last week or the week before. They were down 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth. The leadoff man doubled. Texas reliever was the clerk, who's had a terrible season. The leadoff man doubled. They bunted him to third and lost 1-0. And I was like pumping my chest over that. Like, serves you right, you big bunting loser. So anyway, last night they did win.
Yeah, and they blew
the lead.
Right, but they did get insurance runs off of the plays I'm describing. Like, they moved runners over and got them in, I think, at least once.
One can only imagine how many more runs they might have scored had they not given away outs in those innings. So anyway, to finish the point, my friend is texting me. He's like, what do you miss the most? I miss the ground ball where the shortstop isn't at the shortstop and, like, wondering if that's going to be a hit. The split second in your mind watching on TV, is that going to be a hit? And then the camera shifts to behind home plate, like, oh, the guy's right there.
Right.
The shift. And so he said, what do you hate the most about the game now or want back? And I answered him during the commercial. I answered him. My answer is nothing. I think it's really cool, all this stuff. It's not more exciting, but the game is way smarter now. And I'm excited to see what the next move is. You know, I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm not bored by it. I'm not, like, mad at it. It's just, you know, it's just different. It's still baseball.
Yeah, it definitely still is baseball. I don't know. I don't know that I would describe myself as mad at it. And I don't even know for sure if it's the game or if it's just something that would have occurred without the changes, without not recognizing, or, you know, hits that look like hits not being hits, like balls that are hit in play. Like, oh, there's a guy playing in short right field now because apparently this is slow pitch softball. Okay, like, whatever. All that sort of stuff could be pushing me towards being less inclined to watch. Or it might just be that I'm less inclined to watch because I've got an iPad and there's a show streaming on there, and there's, like, I'm cruising through Twitter and there's a Jason Isbell video from a concert last night, and so
you have a boat,
right? Whatever. This is other stuff. That's all. This is other stuff. You know, the Red Sox won the World Series again. Like, I'm, you know, my friend came over last night, like he often does, John Gale, to watch from baseball. Yeah, sure. I get the Red Sox and Indians on. He's like, oh well, gotta put up with you. And I'm like, like, I'm obnoxious. I never say a word over here when things happen in the game, because I don't even care.
His point was, you like the Red Sox?
Right. And I'm like, yeah, I do, but
he's just what evidence, saying that,
what evidence is there in the room when the Red Sox are on TV that I like the Red Sox? I never emote at all. I'm just here watching it almost out of obligation because it's on and I'm in Canada. Like, oh, the Red Sox are on TSN. I guess I'll turn it on. I don't care really what happens, you know? And that's more my problem. I'm just going to say this on the radio in Buffalo as a lifelong Bills and Sabres fan. My team has won too much. So I'm not invested. I'm just sort of, whatever, do whatever you want. You got 4 World Series in 15 years. Like, I'm all set over here. I don't want for anything.
You don't need another one.
Right. So that more than the shift, more than strikeouts, more than the ball being, way more. That has impact on me than what's happening within the game. You know, it barely matters because the result doesn't matter anymore, really, to me. I'm just watching it.
Okay.
Now, if they were in a heated race, maybe that would be different, but they're not, and I'm not upset about that. So I'm like, oh, I got to turn it around now. Whatever. or not.
Like, you know what you could use? You could use Yankee players that you dislike. And there aren't any. Jeter left. A-Rod left. Teixeira. All those guys, like Posada. Yeah. All those guys retired.
Yeah.
And you didn't hate Jeter. Like, people didn't tend to hate Jeter, but he represented, like, the Yankees have not been to the World Series in 10 years.
Yeah.
And those guys are all, they're all gone.
Right.
And the Yankees are like this modern team where it's like a bunch of kids and everybody's hurt, but doesn't matter. New kids come up and they're all great. And it's you can't even hate the Yankees.
Like, Stanton would be the face of that. Stanton would be the closest to A-Rod. Right. Like, big high ticket guy, big acquisition, big contract. Get him from some poor team that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Like, right. It's classic Yankees. So he'd be this generation's A-Rod. He's not even there.
He disappeared.
He's not even a part of it, so I can't even plug into that.
Right.
So,
you're not
right.
You're not watching the Yankees as a Red Sox fan cursing out Gio Urshela.
No, right.
Just like that, you need a new crop. Maybe the Yankees winning. The Red Sox, what you're saying is there's no Red Sox result that will affect you. If they lose, like they're losing this year, they're single-digit percent to make the playoffs. That doesn't. You don't care.
No.
If the Yankees won a couple times, the Yankees, like new villain guys that, sort of emerged.
That would help a lot.
Then.
Yeah, that would help a lot.
That might be the only thing that could work for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's right. That's probably right. Yeah. I kind of, you know, I miss it. But, you know, I'm a very, I feel like in this way, I try to be as organic as possible about it. So I'm not going to just fake, you know.
No, you're too old for that.
I'm just not going to, oh, man, David Price. Whatever. I'm all right.
Yeah, you're not going to, you're too old for that.
I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Quickly, just for me, one more thing. Like, I just bet different teams every year, and they end up being the teams I root for. I really don't have a favorite team anymore. Last year was Atlanta, and I won a lot of money on Atlanta. That felt really good. And this year I bet Washington, and I'm like, oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to like Atlanta. I do. Like Acuna and Freeman are fantasy guys for me, and they've been awesome, and so I love them for that. But mostly, like, there is residue from last year.
Right.
Because Acuna was brand new, and Albies, and those guys, and I just really got into that. And so this year, Atlanta, they had some comeback wins. You know, they've done a lot. They're in first place by 6 games. And I have to admit, I sort of like it.
Sort of stuck a little bit.
I don't mind that Atlanta's winning. I like them a little bit. The Met thing is totally dead for me. I don't care at all. But Atlanta, there's a little bit of life there. And Washington, which is a team I've never liked, but now I have my money on. Yeah, whatever. It's not that much. I don't really like them. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm sort of rooting against myself, which has not happened, and sort of shocks me that that could happen.
Yeah.
Plus it's the Braves. Like, you know, for a Met fan, the Braves are gross.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So that's my latest. The saga continues. Armando Salguero, Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen, that scene. We'll catch up on them with him in 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Chance for you to breathe in this great deal from Pure Air Care. Get air duct and dryer vent cleaning for just $99. Regular price is $260, so that's over a 60% savings. Pure Air Care. Today's deal of the day, details at mybuffaloperks.com.
Sounds good. Sounds like a good deal. You know who I had over today? The septic guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's how that works on the island?
I don't know if it's the whole island.
Or for you. Anyway.
On the water.
Yeah, okay.
I think maybe it's most or all residents of on the water. But, the septic guy. Yeah. And he said, have you checked this thing yet? I'm like, no. I heard every 5 years. And we've lived here 5 years. And he's like, well, that's good. Your filter had about a week left. In about a week, you would have had a mess in your basement.
Wow.
And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you were a few days away.
But 5 years is pretty solid.
Right on. Right. And then he did his work, and as I paid him, and super nice guy, he showed me pictures that he took of the clogged, like fully clogged filter, and then now it's completely, now it's pristine.
Yeah.
He's like, I did this for you.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, this guy was a sweetheart coming over to do that. That was well worth the money.
Yeah,
that was money well spent.
Yes, especially with the
guy
with the threat of
yep.
Yeah, that backing up into your basement. Believe me, I've been there. That is no kind of fun. That is just not.
No,
not
that would not have been a good day.
No.
No. And then no. So you can, he's ugh. Like, you can check the filter.
I had weeks of that, like weeks, months almost.
You did?
It was bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's indelible.
Yeah.
He said, you can check the filter in like X months and make sure you stay ahead of it, or you can call me and for $75, I'll come and do this for you.
This came up recently with my boys. It wasn't on this drive we just made this past weekend, but recently the three of us were together, and somehow, like, just things in life you have to do that you never thought you'd do, that you definitely don't want to do, but that just needs to be done. And somehow that subject or something close to that came up, and I said, for me, my go-to answer on that is dealing with the backup in the basement that we had for it was like it started in the winter and we didn't get it fixed until spring. And it was a big like excavation, you know, backhoe on the like they had to dig up to a drain outside that had been clogged and installed backwards some years ago or something, like just crazy. But I would get, you know, like up to the top of your shoes in the corner of the basement out of the drain. Like, I got to go in there and plunge that drain. Okay, here we go. I'm going in.
No thanks.
And like, you know, shoes that were separately, like just left there for that purpose.
Yep.
Never to be used
again. You
can't
wear those shoes again.
It's just like,
Rachel?
These are the poop shoes. And they're like, that's it.
Yeah.
That was just the worst. Like, someday you'll have homes and you'll have something. Hopefully never that specifically, but you'll have stuff. You'll be like, I guess I got to do this.
Yeah, I'm starting to think I should have just paid this guy double.
Yeah.
Armando Salguero next on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.